Amen, amen. Just remain standing if you will and get your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. And I did get several texts this morning after the morning service this afternoon saying that they appreciate the message and was encouraged by the message. And Brother and Sister Kuhn sent another picture. Melissa showed me that on the way in this evening. And last week they sent a picture. You remember me mentioning it, that they was both dressed up and ready for service. Thank you. And that they was holding up a paper, a cardboard thing, and it says, it said, preach across the top. Then it said, pointing at him, said, he needs it. And the other pointing at her and saying, she needs it. Well, this one, apparently Brother Kuhn got a hold of it and altered it, because they're standing there all dressed up and they're holding up that same placard and it says he, and it's X'd out, doesn't need it. Amen. Amen. And, but he does. Amen. And it's pretty obvious, and making a note like that means he needs it more than anybody. Amen. Now I'm just kidding. Appreciate Brother Kuhn and Sister Kuhn and them doing that. And I was thinking about our church. I've asked you if you will, you know, get dressed and make it as much like church as you can, and make it a point to be in wherever you're listening. Maybe you're listening in the living room, but to be attentive and to be, active in the services. That doesn't mean you have to stand. When I say let's remain standing and read the scripture, you might be seated out there, but we're standing in here showing reverence to the Word of God. And I think that's good and right and proper. And so if you are standing out there, that's fine as well. But I just thought about that when I said just remain standing. Some of you might not necessarily be standing. And then there's folks listening, probably driving down the highway. You can't necessarily stand, but we can show reverence and respect to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1-3. I started on that this morning and want to continue that tonight. I don't think I'll be long tonight. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to deal particularly with verse number 2. That's the shortest verse of the three. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we are thankful once again to be able to
come. Yes, we are, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I told Melissa this afternoon when we got back to the house, I said, I asked her, I said, did I surprise you about this thing about missions conference? And she said, yeah. And I said, I guess it surprised everybody, because it surprised me. I was not thinking about that. I said to her, I said, it wasn't that the thought came to me and that drove me to the scripture. It was that the scripture and the message God laid on my heart opened up my mind, the idea that perhaps this would be an opportunity to have missions conference. And I believe that is, I prayed about it, asked God, Lord, I'd rather have somebody in preach missions conference than me preach it. But here we are in restricted service and these things going on. And we didn't get to have our regular missions conference because of restrictions, because of sickness. We were sick. Now we're restricted and not sick. Thank the Lord that we're not, but we're trying to be careful about that. But I thought it'd be a good time to go ahead and think on that. And as I said, God already nudging me in these verses and thinking about what is biblical faith. We call it a faith promise missions conference. You could say it is a commitment by faith to missions given. That's what it is. It is a commitment by faith to missions given. My dad has a friend, a good preacher, a great man of God, been used to start several churches, both in America and in England. And Brother Jackson says this a lot of times. He says the thing about Faith Promise Missions is not that you just come up with an idea. He said what we do is we pray and ask God what we should do. And he said the only people that can get in trouble are those that don't pray and ask God, or those that can't hear from God. Those are the only people who get in trouble with a Faith Promise Missions Conference. And I believe that's absolutely right. We need to ask him, and we need to listen for an answer, amen, and wait on him for an answer as to what to do, amen. And I'll say this, if you don't get an answer, for example, that says to increase it, then you don't have an answer that says what to do, then just keep doing what you're doing until he gives you an answer. And I think that is proper and right as well, amen. So we got to thinking about missions conference, and so I began this morning looking at these verses and studying these verses. And I made the statement this morning, and some of the things I'll say, especially by introduction and conclusion, will be repeated from what I said this morning. But I talked about the fact that this church has chosen a systematic type of giving that is called Faith Promise Giving. And some call these missions meetings. They call them Faith Promise Missions Conferences. And with that in mind, I got to thinking about it be nice to, maybe even necessary, to define what we mean by faith. And I remember now what I was going to say. Thank you, Lord, that brought it back to my mind. What it means by faith. I said this morning, some people think that faith is just hoping, just wistful and wishful thinking. That faith might be just an optimistic view of things. Or some people believe faith means you just believe something sincerely and that makes it so. I was talking to my dad sometime back. Mom and dad have their doctor, their main doctor is in Washington, Kansas. And they were just there recently. Mom had some issues with her knee and had some problems, and they'd gone to their doctor. And the doctor told them about, there'd been almost no cases of COVID in their county until a few weeks ago. A Catholic priest, and I'm not just blasting Catholic priests, but I'm just telling, this man, sincere in what he's doing, this Catholic priest went to all the nursing homes and offered mass to all the nursing homes. That means everybody took bread from his hands and they came down with COVID. It swept through, and the doctor was upset. The doctor was weeping. Mom said, tears in his eyes. He said, the majority of them will die. He said, there's nothing we can do but make them comfortable. The majority of those folks are going to die. Now, he wasn't angry at the Catholic priest. Here's what I'm saying. I did make in a sense, a joke about it, that proves he's a fraud, because if that bread literally became the body of Jesus, it wouldn't have disease in it. So it proves that substantiation thing they preach is a lie. But, and that's enough of a dig on them, but here's the point I want to make in this. That man was sincere. He was not trying to hurt people. He probably really believed that that would be of benefit to them folks in some way. He believed it, but it didn't make it so. He had faith, but it was a false faith. It was not based on scripture. And so there we have that. So we talk about what is faith. What is faith? There's a lot of talk about faith in the world. And I'm convinced most people have almost no idea, no good idea what real faith is. All right. And so I dealt with that this morning. I'm not going to go back over that. But I will say that the faith that the Bible speaks about is a belief in the Word of God. It is based on the Scriptures. Amen. It's based on something God has said and not just something that man has dreamed up. Amen. So it's something that is based on the Word of God, and it is believing that the Word of God is true, believing it to the extent that we adapt our behavior or adjust our behavior because of what we believe. I've said this and I said again, I believe that belief affects behavior. Doctrine affects doing. If what you do is not what you say you believe, then you don't really believe what you say you believe. Amen. Because doing is affected by doctrine, by what you believe. All right? And behavior is affected by what we believe. Now, faith requires an object of trust. I talked about that this morning. It talks about the substance in verse number 1 and the evidence that is there. And so faith requires an object in which to trust. And that object is the Word of God. We believe what God has said. I do believe that God can speak to us. God doesn't speak to us with an audible voice today. He could. He has in the past. But that's not how He speaks today. He's given us His Word. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't necessarily speak to us in dreams. He doesn't necessarily speak to us in circumstances. But there's a lot of things we can read into what God has said. But none of them can supersede or contradict the Word of God. The written Word of God has got to be what we base our faith upon. Amen. And so we've got to believe the truth, or else it's a false faith. Amen. And we believe that the Bible is God's divine Word, that God is infallible, therefore His Word is infallible, and we trust what God has said. Amen. And in this morning's study, we talked about faith's persuasion. I mentioned to you there's 3 points I want to deal with. We talked about faith's persuasion. Tonight, I want to talk about faith's praise. We are persuaded by faith in verse number 1. We get praised for faith in verse number 2. Amen. Faith's praise is what we're going to look at tonight. Now, this morning, I pointed out 2 specific points. This evening, I want to look at 3. Again, they'll be short and quick. But this morning, I talked about the cause of faith's persuasion, the substance of things hoped for. Then the confirmation of faith's persuasion is the evidence of things not seen. All right? Look at verse number 2, and we'll look at faith's praise. The Bible says, "For by it," that's talking about faith, "for by faith, the elders obtained a good report." Amen. He's going to go on from here, chapter 11, talking about these elders, men of the past and women of the past that have walked with God and done great things for God and saw miraculous things from God because of their faith. Matter of fact, before he ends the chapter, he's going to tell us some people that didn't see a miracle, that didn't get delivered, and yet they kept walking by faith and they died in faith. Amen. God help us to do the same. Amen. Whether we see the miracle or not, help us to be like those 3 Hebrew children. They said our God can deliver us, and one way or another He will deliver us. But even if He does not deliver us from your hand, we're not going to bow. We're going to believe our God. Amen. Help us to have that kind of faith, that but if not, amen, kind of faith. And so we want to look here at this how the elders obtained a good report. They did it by faith. And what I want to point out is that belief not only affects our behavior, but belief affects our benefits. Amen. God said, there's only one thing makes Him happy. You can't make Him happy without faith. You won't have the blessings and the benevolence of God without a measure of faith. God's looking for faith in our life. And so faith affects our behavior, and faith affects our benefits. We get praised for the faith. Amen. When a person lives by faith, they have believed the Bible. I've talked about that already a little bit. They believe the Bible, therefore they live by the Bible. They order their life. They pattern their life by the Bible. That life is acceptable to the God of the Bible. And what the Bible's given us is a beneficial life. We've been studying Proverbs, and I've interrupted that tonight, because we normally on Sunday night we'd be looking at Proverbs. I think that we've had 8 messages, I believe, so far in the book of Proverbs, and went through the first 4 verses. I mean chapters. Thank God, not verses. First 4 chapters of the book of Proverbs. And we're running through them very fast. Matter of fact, I'm contemplating possibly backing up and going a little bit slower at this in Proverbs. But whether I do or not, that's just in my mind, and I'm questioning the Lord about what I should do. But when I preach through the book of Proverbs and in those lessons, one thing I'm saying is that living by the Word of God is the wisest way to live. Living by the Word of God is the most beneficial way to live. Amen. You say, well, but preacher, I know people that live by the Bible and yet they still have disease. Yep. I know people that believe the Bible and yet death still knocks on their door. Yep. I know people that live by the Bible. Matter of fact, just think of Job, a perfect and upright man. I mean, you can't find fault in the life of Job. God didn't even find fault in the life of Job. Amen. And yet he faced a lot of difficulties, a lot of troubles. But you'll have to say it was a blessed life. And those people, I say me or you, either one, we may face some difficulties even living in the blessed life. But you just think about, what if that umbrella of blessing was gone? What if instead of the smile of God, you had the frown of God on your life? Then think how bad it'd be. Amen. Much worse than it is now. Amen. Or much worse than we could imagine. It could very well be much worse than we could ever imagine. So living by the Bible is the beneficial life. That's how we get benefits from God. Now, it's interesting to me that true faith in the Bible gives praise to God. When we believe the Bible, we give praise to God. We sang that song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. I read about Jesus on Calvary and I want to bless the Lord. Amen. I think about the great gift, and Joshua read it in Sunday school this morning in chapter 9. Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul was thanking God for Jesus going to Calvary. You know why? Because he believed what the Bible said about Jesus going to Calvary. Amen. So when we believe the Bible, we give praise to God. But when we believe the Bible, God gives praise to us. Amen. It not only elevates praise up to God, but it elicits praise back from God. That's what he said, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Who gave them a good report? It wasn't their neighbors. It wasn't necessarily their family members. It was God that gave these men a good report. God recorded these things in the Word of God. Amen. And so, speaking of that, I want to deal with three things this evening, if I can, by the help of the Lord. Three things. Number one, the people who are granted praise for faith. The people who are granted praise for faith. I want to look at the potentate who gives praise for faith. And then last of all, the principle which gains praise for faith. The people, in verse number 2, the people who gained praise, or who are granted praise for faith. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. The elders. Now, can I say the elders here does not mean the old folks. Amen. Rather, it means the people of the past, the people of ancient times. Amen. And he's going to go all the way back. He talks about the creation of the world. We know that God created by faith, moves from that creation to just shortly after creation when Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. He moves on up to Enoch, how that Enoch, by faith, walked with God and warned people of the judgment of God that was to come. How that Noah was warned of God and built an altar, an ark, and how that all these things happened by faith. He's going to go down through, so he goes way back to practically the beginning of human history, and he starts telling us how that people that live by faith get a good report. When I mention Abel, for example, we think of that offering Abel made. What a blessing. I mentioned his brother Cain, and we don't think good things about Cain. Cain didn't get a good report. You know why? Cain didn't believe God. He didn't accept God's word. Cain became a murderer. Abel became a martyr. Abel lived a short life, but he made a statement in that short life that gained him a good report, that he, being dead, yet speaketh. Amen. And I'm glad it's recorded in the Word of God. So these elders, it's the saints of the past, particularly the Old Testament saints that he's going to deal with here in this scripture. These patriarchs are the ones that we find cited here in the Hebrews roll call of the faithful, the Hebrews hall of fame of the faithful, maybe we call that, Hebrews chapter number 11. They're in here because of an act of faith, but it was not just one act. It was an act that was because of a life of faith. He's not just dealing with one thing they did, but he's dealing with how that one thing references how their life was lived. Amen. And that's how that ought to be with us as well. Faith is not just something that makes you do something one time. Faith is not just something that helps you at one issue or one particular thing. Faith is something that's going to be a part of your life. It's going to manifest throughout your life. Amen. And we see that here in Hebrews chapter number 11. We call them the heroes of the faith. And by the way, they should be our heroes. They displayed great attributes and actions because of their faith in God, faith in God's word. But, I say this, they should be our heroes. But we should never think of them as some kind of superhero, because they were just ordinary men and women. Just ordinary men and women that chose to live by faith. They chose to believe in an extraordinary God, and that helped them to be able to do amazing things. But it wasn't that they were amazing people. They just had faith in an amazing God. Amen. And so they could do extraordinary things because of faith in an extraordinary God. These are the heroes that he says obtained a good report. Now this chapter is a commendation on their lives. He is recommending them. He's bragging on them. He's speaking of the fact that these men and women had a good report. And it is indeed a good report when you read this. Amen. Matter of fact, there's some of these men he mentions in here. Let me just give you an illustration. He mentions Samson. There ain't a whole lot of good you can say about the life of Samson. Not a whole lot of good you can say. But there's nothing bad said about him in Hebrews chapter 11. Not one speck of bad in Hebrews chapter number 11. You know why? Because God's not looking at his failure. God's bragging about his faith. Amen. Amen. And he's making a point. And I say, God's doing that. God's the writer of the book of Hebrews. And God moved on these men to write these things. And the emphasis of this is the faith that is lived in their life. Amen. And so he's giving them a good report. All these elders, every one of these men and women were justified by faith, just like you and I are. They were not justified by works. They were justified by faith. That faith produced works. And James said, if you could try to show me your faith without works, you'll have a hard time doing that. You can try. But he said, I'll show you my faith by my works, which is true. Amen. But the idea is they were justified by faith. They were saved by faith. Amen. They lived by faith in God. Their belief in God not only allowed them to be saved by faith, but it allowed them to display holy obedience to God's word, even give an eminent service to God. Amen. Some of these people did great and mighty things for God. Some of them suffered great and mighty things. Some of them suffered patiently for the cause of God. You know why? Because they believed God. If you read the martyrs and read about martyrs, those martyrs suffered. Some of them suffered tremendous torture. But they did it because they believed God. Amen. Some of them died horrendous deaths. But they did it because they believed God. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to notice, and I'm talking about these people that were granted praise. This is my most important point, I deal with this the most, because that's what this chapter is dealing with, people over and over, and one person after another person after another person that gets a good report by faith. He wants us to see that it is people. He's given us the principle in verse 1. But that principle sometimes can be in abstract terms. When somebody tries to lay out their principle for what they want to do. For example, people talk about having a mission statement. This is what we want to accomplish. When you read that, 9 times out of 10, it's innocuous. I mean, it really doesn't have any meat and potatoes kind of meaning to it. It doesn't have any down-to-earth stability to it. It's just flowery speech that really, in a sense, doesn't mean a whole lot. And so sometimes we might think of faith as something ethereal, as something, some principle that's in the abstract. Matter of fact, verse number 1 is pretty much in the abstract. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I mean, how can faith be a tangible item? He says it is. It is the evidence of things not seen. Again, that sounds almost like it's abstract terms that are used, but the writer of the book of Hebrews goes from those, if you want to say abstract terms, to giving us some absolute pictures and absolute examples of these men and women that actually did that. So he gives us illustrations of those that lived a life of faith. He doesn't spend a lot of time describing the faith of Abel, for example, or Enoch or Noah or on down the line. He doesn't go into a lot of information telling us about their faith. He doesn't describe it or define it in some kind of elusive language. But rather, he gives us concrete examples of how these elders live by faith. Amen. Tells us this is what they did. This is how you can see it. Here's the evidence that Abel had faith in God. He brought a more excellent sacrifice. Here's the evidence that Enoch believed God. He walked with God and he warned people of the judgment that it was to come. Here's the evidence that Noah believed God. He built an ark when nobody else was building an ark. They wouldn't even get in one when it was built. But Noah believed God. And so he's showing you the evidence and examples. But it's more than just examples. It's to give us encouragement. That if Noah believed God, I can. If Enoch believed God, I can. If Abel believed God, you and I can. Amen. In other words, he's just giving us encouragement that we can do the same. These men and women came from a variety of backgrounds. They come from several different social statuses. They encountered an assortment of circumstances. They saw a whole plenitude of problems that was out there. And they all had personal deficiencies. And yet we see them overcome all those by faith. Amen. They overcame it all by faith. So we see these examples of these elders who obtained a good report by faith. They say to us that this can be obtained by anybody. That's what it's saying. Any of us could have this same. It is possible for anyone that knows God to believe God and to walk with God. It is possible for us to live our life by faith. Anybody can live by faith. Living by faith is not some exclusive club just for the rich and the royal. Amen. Living by faith is not just some exclusive club that only the perfect can belong to. But it's a group that anybody, amen, can belong to. Let me go to my second point. Not only the people who are granted praise for faith, but the potentate who gives praise for faith. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The word God's not in that verse. Not even a pronoun. It doesn't say a thing about God, but we know who he's talking about. Who's writing our report card? Amen. Who's the one keeping a record about all this? It's got to be God. Amen. And this phrase, obtained a good report, that whole phrase, all those words, obtained a good report. Those four words all come from one Greek word. It's amazing to me how descriptive Greek is. I was reading something the other day and I can't remember now what it was. And in this particular, somebody else had made reference to it. So I looked at it to see if it's true. You can look it up in Strong Concordance, it's true. But there's a statement that had, I believe it had 21 words in the King James English Bible. But in the Greek, it had 7 words. That's a big difference. Here's 4 words in our English Bible, but it's translated from one Greek word. It's Strong's number 3140. It means to be a witness or to testify. Obtained a good report. These people are a witness how that faith works. These people testify how that faith works. Now, it doesn't tell us who's given the witness. It doesn't tell us who's given this testimony. We know it's God. It's God that's witnessing. God said, I saw that sacrifice that Abel made. I gave reference to it. I gave respect to it. I saw it. I saw that Enoch walked with me. Enoch was not. Other people didn't see him. God saw him. Amen. I saw that Noah was moved with fear and built an ark. I saw that Abraham believed God and left his kindred and all that he knew and went in a place that he didn't know. I saw that Sarah believed God and counted him faithful. God saw all that. And now God is the one testifying that to you and I. Amen. God's the one that's recording these things. Amen. So God gave witness to the faith of these people by recording it in his book. Amen. Don't you think, and this book, by the way, is a book on earth. This record is recorded on earth. Don't you think there's a record recorded in heaven? Amen. There is. Not only does God record faith, but God rewards faith. I've been dealing with that in our study of the book of Esther. That it was recorded about Mordecai up to chapter number 3. He's not been rewarded. And it's recorded but not rewarded. Well, God is faithful not only to record, but he's faithful to reward our faith. Amen. And I say that's a great benefit. Amen. When you think about it, our praise or our commendation does not come from some other source. We don't need men to stand up and applaud us. Not if God's happy. As long as God's happy, we don't need the applause of men. We don't need men lining up and saying, well, boy, that's good. I appreciate that. You're doing good. We don't need some other source. Matter of fact, as long as God gives testimony to our faith, that's all we need. Amen.
Amen.
Those around us may doubt our faith. They may be mistaken about our faith. But God knows intimately and intricately how real our faith is, how firm our faith is. Amen. Faith pleases God. That's what he's told us in verse number 6. Faith pleases God, and God is pleased to give testimony of our faith. Made me think about when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. It pleased the Father. It pleased him so much, he spoke up about it. He thundered from heaven about it. There's a voice from heaven that made the statement, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. I believe when we practice faith, it pleases God. And somewhere down the road, somewhere or another, God's going to speak up about it. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to say something that benefits us. I'm talking about the benefits of praise. It is the potentate that gives praise for our faith. Our God gives praise for our faith. Now, here's something else I thought about. The world we live in does not equate faith as anything of value. They don't see faith as beneficial. They don't see faith as important. Matter of fact, they minimize faith. They mock faith. They scorn at our faith. They laugh at how we live. They laugh at how we give. They laugh at where we go. They laugh at how we go. They laugh at what we do, because it's based on the Word of God. Oh, you're believing some archaic book. You're believing some book, just a book. Well, it's not just a book. It's God's book. Amen. It's okay. They may misunderstand it. They may mock it. They may scorn it. That's okay, as long as God's happy with it.
Amen.
Amen. We're not seeking to please men. We're living to please God. If God is happy with our faith, we ought to be happy. Amen. On the other hand, if God's not happy with our faith, then we shouldn't be happy with it either. Amen. Here's my last point, verse number 2 again. I'm talking about the principle which gains praise for faith. There's the people that get it. There's the potentate that gives it. Here's the principle that gains it. For these next two words, by it. I underline that phrase. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. God does not praise people for their riches. God does not praise people for their abilities. God does not praise people just because of their heritage, who their family is. God does not praise people just because of their knowledge. God praises people because of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6, I read that this morning. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. So faith is the basis for God's praise. God's looking for faith. If you want praise that comes from God, you got to live by faith. That's just simple. When God looks at individuals, he looks for faith. He's not looking for fame or fortune or feats of grandeur. He's looking for faith.
Amen.
Simply believe in God. Amen. God does not praise a man by how much money he's made. God does not praise a man for how many home runs he's hit. God does not praise a man for how many Oscars or Nobel Peace Prizes that he may have won. God praises men and women only because of their faith. Only on the basis of how much they believe God's written word. Amen. One commentator said it this way. He said it was not by their amiability, sincerity, earnestness, or any other natural virtue, but by faith that the ancients obtained a good report. It wasn't just that they were friendly. It wasn't just that they were sincere. It wasn't just that they were in earnest. It was nothing about their natural self. Matter of fact, we don't know about any of these men. We don't know much about their natural carriage. We know about their spiritual belief, their believing in God. Amen. Now, and I'm about ready to close, but I don't want you to think about this. There's a lot of people today that's praised by the world. They're praised highly. God's not going to praise them. They've not done anything to get praised for on Judgment Day. Amen.
The only thing God's going to display on Judgment Day is faith in God's Word. These people that do not believe the Word of God are not going to get praise from God. Amen. They have nothing to do with God. They have nothing to do with His Word. Therefore, they may be the darlings of the world. They may make it on the television screens or on the billboards or on the magazine covers. They may make it in the, you know, in all the award ceremonies. But they won't make much of a splash on Judgment Day, as far as God's concerned, because God's only praising people because of faith. Now here's where I'm going. Not only the world praises them, sometimes even the religious world gets hung up in that. Even the religious world. I haven't seen it as much in recent times as I did in the past, but I can remember some good number of years ago, for example, the church would have a big day, and for the big day they'd want everybody to come and hear this football star. Played football for some team, and boy, what a star he was for Jesus. Or maybe he'd been an ex-wrestler, and boy, he made a star for Jesus. Maybe he'd been a movie star, and man, he'd been a star for Jesus. God's not looking for somebody necessarily that's a star in the sports world or in Hollywood world. God's just looking for somebody that believes God. That's what He's looking for. Amen. So, God takes notice of faith even when they are nobodies in the eyes of the world. Even though the world looks down upon us as nobodies, God looks at us as somebodies if we are people of faith. Amen. Amen. Now, I said this morning, in conclusion, I'm going to conclude with the same thoughts, that it's important that we understand faith in this Faith Promise Missions Conference. Missionaries are convinced by the Word of God that God has called them to a specific place, a specific people, or a specific job or duty. They believe that because of faith. And they go because of faith. They go about trying to raise the funds. And some people do it different. Some people do just total deputation. They expect all their funds to come from that. Others have other ways. Maybe they're partially supported by this or partially supported by that, or they're going to do some work and all. And I'm glad for however God moves on to do it. But the whole thing is, it's got to be by faith. It's got to be that they're believing God. That's why they're going. Churches believe that God wants us to support missionaries. Amen. And then individuals got to be convinced by the Word of God that they need to give to the missions fund. Therefore, they can help those men and those women a certain rate, a certain amount, and be faithful to their obligations to fulfill their commitments towards missionaries. Amen. So we give by faith. This morning I asked, did we believe that God loves the whole world? And I read John 3:16-18. And by the way, not only that God loves the whole world, but that the whole world's condemned already. We believe that. We believe that we're responsible to get the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8. We believe that. If we really believe that, then do we believe that the way we can do that, either go, or, and maybe not just or, and give. Because I can't be in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth all at one time. But I can be given so that somebody can be in those places all at one time. Amen. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter number 12, I believe is where I'm going. I believe that's right. Mark chapter number 12, that is right. Didn't have it in my notes, but I looked at this evening. Mark chapter 12 and also Luke chapter 21. These are part of the harmony of the Gospels. These two men are writing about the same thing. Before I read that, 2 Corinthians 9:7, I read it this morning. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God's pleased with faith. Faith must be evident when a man is happily given of his goods unto the Lord. Now, I want you to notice Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. I'm going to stop just a minute. You know what he said? Jesus got him a chair and sat down and observed the offering plate. That's what he's saying. He watched how they put things in the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto them his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So here's what I'm saying. God noticed how much that little woman gave. He also knew how much that little woman had. And God's noticing how much she trusts God and believes God. Look at Luke chapter number 21, verse number 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus praised that little widow woman. He didn't praise these men that had all the funds. They gave a lot more. They may have been given longer. They may have been given in much more abundance, but they weren't exercising faith. Here's a woman exercising faith, and Jesus said, I'm going to speak up about that. I'm going to take notice of it. And I'm going to make record of it. And I'm going to give a reward for it. Amen. I want Joshua to come back to the piano, and we'll have an invitation time here as I conclude the message. I'll say that Jesus is watching what we do. Just like he's watching offering plates then, he's watching now. Just like he knows what's in your bank account then, he knows, or what was in her bank account then, he knows what's in ours now. Jesus is watching what we do with the things he has entrusted us with. And he's only going to reward us by faith. Amen. God does not reward us for how far we go. Amen. He does not reward us for how full our offering plates are. But he rewards us on our faithfulness. On our faith. Have we believed God?